Thank you, Sylvia, and thank you to all who read. At this time, I would like to introduce our first speaker, Albert E. from the D.C. area.
I'm an addict. My name is Albert. And I want to thank my higher power for showing me the way to Narcotics Anonymous. I want to thank Chesapeake-Tomic Region for asking me to share, and Lewis for snatching me out of the hallway and asking me to share kind of at the last minute here, right? And which always makes me a little on edge, because I want to try to have things planned. And my plan, right, got me right here in Narcotics Anonymous. And it says, while we're here, we cannot manage our own lives. We couldn't live as other people do. We were committing suicide and then realizing that there was something wrong with me, right? I got here in February 1986, and I stumbled blindly, hopeless, helpless into this fellowship, man, looking for a way out, right? I was in a lot of pain, right? I had done all the things that addicts do, and I found out once I got here that the journey had started, some years ago, man. Came up here in the city in D.C., and I didn't like a lot of things about myself, right? I started using dope when dope was a dollar. And what happened was that the things that I didn't like about me, man, that I wasn't short enough, that I wasn't tall enough, that I had, that I couldn't grow my bush out like the Jacksons or something, or the Johnson brothers, you know, that I had big feet, and my father was the kind of guy that bought you not the good tennis shoes that we liked, right? He bought you the tennis shoes that he could afford, right? And, you know, my father was a military man. We were Sergeant Elliott's kids, and Sergeant Elliott's kids wore those little business bro gangs to school. You know, and when everybody else was wearing khaki pants, we wore some kind of polyester before polyester became in. You know, and you know, I was. So that's what I'm telling you, man. I was a short, little nappy head, fat kid with big feet, trying to exist right in high school, man. And what happened was that somebody gave me something to change my mood, right? And I found out that once my mood changed, once I took what they gave me, right, that certain things kind of happened for me. It was kind of like a transformation, because when I was high and I was nodding, it appeared that my feet got smaller and my bush got bigger and all those kind of things. I was in lot, you know, everything that was going on that was wrong with me got fixed when I got high. Got fixed when I got high, man. And little did I know that I continued for years and years on, man, with the idea that this thing that I had could be fixed by getting high. Right. And I continued to use, right? Again, there were some miracles that occurred in my life. I believe early on, you know, one was that my father found out that I was shooting heroin at a young age. And he was the kind of guy that was pretty straightforward. First, you know, he whooped my ass. Which, you know, what Sergeant Elliott was supposed to do. And then he started crying, you know. And I come up in an era where fathers did not hug and did not cry, right? And when I saw my father crying, I guess I was maybe 17, 18 years old. And it was kind of like watching John Wayne or something cry. You know, John Wayne didn't cry, man. My father didn't cry. And there was something about that allowed me to say, well, maybe I won't shoot dope no more, So, you know, I told my dad I wasn't going to shoot any more dope. You know how long that lasted. But what I did do was I made an effort to cut back. And for a long time, man, I was on the cutback train, right? I was on the cutback train. And that train moved slowly along, dysfunctionally, you know, haphazardly, right? Until the crack cocaine came along, right? You know, I was able to do a lot of things on that slow train, right? You know, go to school, go to college, get jobs, get fired from jobs, get in relationships, lose relationships, you know, all those kind of things. But when the train came, that put a halt to what was going on in Albert's life. And I recall, I like to share that what happened was that I went and got high one time and I blew out a big old puff of smoke, and when the smoke cleared, I was in Leavenworth prison. You know, and that's what happens when I use, right? When I use, right, I can't stop. I steal from whoever has it, and I go to jail, right? And what I also do, what I also found out since I've been here is that if you tell me that you love me, right, and you, it doesn't matter who it is, if you tell me that you love me and I am using, your life is in danger, right? Because that's what I do. Right, and so that's how I got here. And I got here, and you people told me that you had found a way to stop using. And I started understanding, you know, why I was here. Because I didn't know how to live my life without the use of drugs. Right? It is as basically simple as that. You know, I had to relearn all the things that I had heard over the years, because I had heard a lot of the information in the rooms I had heard before. Before I got here, I remember as a teenager, right, you know, a wide-eyed teenager, and how my mother used to tell me that, Albert, if you hang with, I had a friend that was an older guy named Gregory. He says, Albert, if you hang with Gregory, right, and do the things he's doing, and you steal, right, when he gets caught, you going to jail. And I did exactly what teenagers do when they hear their parents tell them things, right? I paid no attention, right? And sure enough, y'all know where this is going. Sure enough, when the police officer from the 10th precinct called my house and said that I had been arrested at 14 years old, the only thing my mother wanted to know was, who is he with? And a man said, a boy named Gregory, right? And I got here, and I was told that what I needed to do, right, was to associate myself with people who were trying to do the same thing that I was doing, you know, just for the day. That I needed to find someone, not someone who had, who didn't have the same disease that I had, but I needed to find people and put them in my life that had the same disease, the same problems, the same issues, who would nod their head affirmatively when I spoke, that had the same problems that I did, right? And I found it here, right? I came here to Narcotics Anonymous, right? Again, like I said, man, I was in a lot of pain and I stumbled blindly into this fellowship. You know, I was suicidal. I was married and my wife had left, you know, and good for her. You know, the kids were gone and all I had to do was to sit right in one of those seats, right, and start the process of healing Albert, right? And I did that one day at a time, right? I got a sponsor who gave me information about Albert this is why we're here, right? We're here again because we don't know how to live without the use of drugs, right? And if you come here, we will show you how to live. We will show you how to live a life that you were already supposed to be living. Sometimes I want to take a lot of credit for, you know, that things are going better in my life, you know, or I want to say, well, you know, I'm in recovery now, but I'm only doing what I was supposed to be doing in the beginning. You know, it's really not that big a deal. You know, that my life is better because my higher power removed the obsession and the compulsion to use long enough for me to hear the information that they were giving me here from you people, right? And because of that, you know, I am internally grateful, right? And I always share that I'm most grateful when a situation occurs in my life and I'm able to deal with it differently and behave differently because of what I've learned here. You know, now, I don't always do that. You know, let that be clear, right? I mean, for those who know me, they're shaking their heads saying, yeah, we know that, Alvin. Right? But given an opportunity to take a look back on any issue that might be occurring in my life, I stand a better chance of working through that, right? Because of the information that I get here from you people, because of what I read daily, you know, because of when I because of prayer and meditation, because of the steps and the traditions in the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, you know, recently I've been going through some financial struggles, right? And that doesn't play a part in my recovery process, but it does play a part in my behavior, you know, in a part of where, you know, I want to pull, you know, on some mornings I want to pull the covers over my head, right, and say, well, I can still stay in the bed a little while longer. Sometimes I, you know, I don't have that what you people have given me to kind of take it over into what's going on in the other areas of my life. But one thing is certain, right, I know that using is not going to make it better. Right? Using doesn't make it better. And I think that because of that, right, it has allowed me to kind of continue to look toward and look at what it could be as opposed to, oh my God, look at this, you know, and it allows me to keep working at it. And now, in the event that things don't work out the way I would like them to, right, what I have been able to develop in these rooms is the courage, which is a big word for me, man, courage, you know, to tell and say exactly what is going on, right? I lived so long in the shadows, right, in the corners, right, in the lies, in the denial of my own mind, right? And I still will if I don't reach out and ask somebody for help, right? And I still do that now, right? I've been clean for 26 years, right? It is helpful, right, that I've been clean that long, right? But it's not anything that is going to make me a better person or a better addict than anybody else, right? All it does is gives me an opportunity to reach back and draw on some information or some experiences that I've had that will allow me to say, Albert, you can get by this. You know, you can get by this. And that's what I'm working on just today. To fast forward this thing forward, I'm working on, right, kind of not blurring my lines, right? Lately, since things have been changing for me, right, I've been thinking and behaving like I can blur the lines of my life. You know, there's one line that is a steady, solid line that I know I can't cross, and that's the line to active addiction. But all the other lines, what I've been doing is I've been making it and looking at them as though that it's okay, I'm not using, right? And that is not the case. That is not the case. You know, I need more than anything at this point in my process to say, hey, I need to draw these lines and stay within them. You know, my friends, I see t-shirts around here sometimes that say stay in your lane, right? I am working diligently, right, to stay in your lane. And sometimes what God will do, right, and my high power will direct or put a situation in my life so I have no choice. You know, I have no choice. I've got to stay in this lane. I can no longer cross over to this lane because there's nothing over there for you, Albert. You know, and because of that, you know, it helps me focus in the areas where I need some help in. You know, I still need help. You know, I still need help. You know, because I revert back to the guy, right, with the little teeny bush and the real big feet. Right? I revert back to that guy, right? And that's the guy that I need to kind of, that's when I know I need the most help, right? That's when I know that I have to draw on what has been given to me by you people, right? And just to make the simplicity of this program for me is that if I call somebody and talk to them about it, you know, there are people in my life who will tell me, you know, they won't even tell me what to do. You know what they say? They'll say, well, how does that sound to you? You know, and that's the thing, because, you know, it's hard to be, you know, it's hard to be scolded when you get to be somebody. I'm scolding grandchildren, so it's hard to be scolded. But the idea that how does that sound to you, or what do you think of that? You know, and I keep thinking that maybe I'm in a counseling session or something, but that's what it is for me. You know, I'm getting help, right, daily. You know, I'm here, right, as it says. Why am I here? I'm here because I still need the help in my life, right, that I needed almost when I got here. I still need some more direction, right? It is what it is. I don't want to need direction. I really don't. I would like to figure that, you know, I don't need the help that I needed when I got here. But because I know I do, right, I stay here, man. Thanks for letting me share.